Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the beginning of the week on Feet to the Fire with your host, Sergio Fassa. And you wake up on a beautiful, crisp fall morning like this, and you're just so thankful to be alive. Even with all of the craziness going on in this country and in the culture, you're still thankful for being an American and living in this country. I love this time of year. I love remembering Thanksgiving. I love this time of year and thinking about our freedom and the country that we love and that we live in. And it's also nice because we had fall back. So we gained an hour yesterday, but now the mornings are a little bit brighter earlier in the morning. So hope you are looking forward to a great week. I want to get to some things that I've been hanging on to in the news that I just haven't had time to get to. Some things funny, some things absurd, some things interesting. So let's jump in. Maybe it's a little bit of a version of a Monday Follies, Friday Follies, but on Monday. Just to give you a heads up, this actually, I haven't been hanging on to, this is just in the news. The Postmillennial is reporting this. James O'Keefe, he runs Project Veritas, which is that media organization that embeds, they're great, they embed spies into different, not spies, but they embed media operatives into liberal organizations, places like Planned Parenthood, Gain Trust, and then they do these hidden videos interviewing people. And that's where you had that famous series of videos, long videos, where Planned Parenthood was explaining how they extract baby parts from aborted babies while the babies are still alive. And then they sell those baby parts in the black market for exorbitant prices. And that hit the news, and it was massive exposure. And they've done lots of things that with liberal organizations. Well, get this. From the Postmillennial, the FBI searched through the home of Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe 2 days after they searched the homes of his associates in the Southern District of New York's inquiry into the theft of Ashley Biden's diary. So there's something going on with Ashley Biden's diary. James O'Keefe defends his group's handling of the diary, said they actually turned it over to the authorities, did not publish it, and returned it to a lawyer for Ashley Biden. So he's saying they didn't do anything wrong. Here was his comments. It appears the Southern District of New York now has journalists in their sights for the supposed crime of doing their jobs lawfully and honestly. Our efforts were the stuff of responsible, ethical journalism, and we are no doubt that Project Veritas acted properly at each and every step. My point is, why am I mentioning this? Because the FBI targets now, the federal government is targeting conservative media personalities to the point of raiding the guy's house. This is the things that dictatorships are made of. I know I started off today positive with how excited it is I am to be in this country and the nice fall morning, but the reality is this is disturbing that the federal government is sicking federal agencies on private citizens because they don't like conservative reporting and exposure. And this is the Biden administration. Obama's administration acted likewise, targeting political enemies. All right, here's another thing. I put it up on social media. Did you see, Ali Stuckey is great. You should follow her on social media, Christian conservative. But she had this post on Instagram that I I didn't retweet it because it wasn't, I shared it. I guess that's the word. And give me 1 second. Okay, there it is. I had to find it on my phone. She wrote this, "Hello and welcome to Clown Town." And on her post is a picture on the left of the Health and Human Services Secretary, who's originally from, was in Pennsylvania state government, Rachel Levin, who's a man, a transgender. He, notice I'm calling him he, is on the left, and a quite an ugly woman, and I can say that because he's not a woman. And on the right is a picture of Winsome Sears, who just got elected as lieutenant governor in Virginia, Republican, Trump supporter. I believe she was the former head of the national organization African Americans for Trump during the 2020 election, something like that, some organization like that. And she just got elected as the first black and female lieutenant governor in Virginia, GOP, ushered her into that position. She's on the right, and the picture of her, she's in a nice, you know, feminine professional outfit, a skirt and a, you know, a professional jacket, and she looks very nice, but she's holding an AR-15. And with a nice little smile. And here's what Ali Stuckey wrote. Hello and welcome to Clown Town, where the dude on the left is an empowering woman. That's the transgender guy. And the woman on the right is a white supremacist. That's Ali Stuckey's point. That's how absurd this culture is. I feel like that captures everything in the culture. A transgender who is a man and will always be a man is considered empowering towards women, when in reality it's degrading to women because it's saying that a man is better at being a woman than women are. That's the statement. That's how unreal it is. And on the right, a woman who's black and confident and capable and got elected by the Republicans, she's a white supremacist who got elected by white supremacists, even though whites voted in the first black woman. Okay. Point made. Love that. Thank you, Ali Stuckey. This I mentioned, but I got to read the article again from the Courier Journal. This is a couple weeks ago. Kentucky High School had lap dances and a man pageant. Kentucky's school's homecoming leads to disciplinary action. Again, this is the degraded place we're in our culture now. The superintendent of Hazard Independent Schools said, quote, appropriate disciplinary action has been taken after. Well, what happened? Here's what happened. Photos surfaced showing students, male students, giving lap dances to staff. Male students. I mean, it'd be sick if it was female, too. I'm just saying, this is disgusting. And they were wearing scant clothing on Tuesday as part of Hazard High School's homecoming week festivities in eastern Kentucky. Students and staff took part in a, quote, man pageant and, quote, costume day on Tuesday, according to the Facebook page. Photos were subsequently taken down from the athletic department's Facebook page that showed students in underclothing giving lap dances to faculty and staff, including Hazard High School principal Donald, quote, Happy Mobilini. That's, I guess, his nickname. I don't know if he's happy after this. I mean, that's just a weird nickname, but I'm speechless. Donald Happy Mobilini, who is also mayor of the Perry County City. Other photos on the athletics page were also taken down that showed female students dressed up in Hooters outfits and students and staff appearing to paddle one another. So, scantily clad male students lap dancing for male teachers. I don't even know what to say about, is this people's sense of humor? This is disgusting. And then degrading women in Hooters outfits, students? And how are all these people not jailed? Lose their jobs. Donald Happy Mobilini shouldn't be happy sitting in a jail cell because this is the kind of district he runs. What profanity. And again, this is where the sexual revolution has brought us. And nothing about this puts value or esteem on any women whatsoever or on... There's no value on sexuality, proper sexual ethics. It's all degraded and disgusting. Okay, I am going to eventually read you all the lyrics to this Presbyterian church climate hymn, which I keep getting to because it's sad and hilarious all at once. I want to read this last article. Stick with me. We're running low on time. From Revolver a couple weeks ago, did you hear about this? We always are told that the January 6th riot was a riot, quote, riot in quotes. It wasn't. But we're always wondering, how did this thing get out of control? Well, from Revolver News, meet Ray Epps, the federally protected provocateur who appears to have led the very first January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Now, by the way, this was cited by Representative Thomas Massie from Kentucky in Congress. And so this is not wild conspiracy theory stuff. And Mark Levin, conservative media personality and news source, discussed this on his TV show. So this is not fringe kook stuff. Here's the article. Meet Ray Epps, the federally protected provocateur. I already read you the title. In a House hearing on Thursday, Representative Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, questioned Attorney General Merrick Garland about a mysterious man, Ray Epps, instructing protesters to enter the U.S. Capitol building on January 5th and who later shepherded crowds towards the Capitol on January 6th. So there's video of this guy shouting, and instructing people. They got to raid the Capitol, and then on the 5th and on the 6th, there's video of him leading people to the Capitol. If Revolver's News previous reporting points to a proactive role of the federal government in relation to the conspiracy cases against Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, the Ray Epps story that follows suggests a similar yet more egregious, explicit, direct, and immediate degree of federal involvement in the breach of the Capitol itself. Just listen. After months of research, Revolver's investigative reporting team can now reveal that Ray Epps appears to be among the primary orchestrators of the very first breach of the Capitol's police barricades at 12:50 on January 6th. Epps appears to have led the breach team, quote-unquote, that committed the very first illegal acts on that fateful day. What's more, Epps and his, quote, breach team did all their dirty work within 10 minutes still remaining in President Trump's National Mall speech and with the vast majority of Trump supporters still 30 minutes away from the Capitol. Okay, so this guy, Ray Epps, was clearly involved. So what's the issue here? Secondly, Revolver also determined and will prove below that the FBI stealthily removed Ray Epps from its Capitol Violence Most Wanted list on July 1st, just one day after Revolver exposed the inexplicable and puzzlesome FBI protection of known Epps associate and Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes. July 1st was also just one day after separate New York Times reporting amplified a glaring falsifiable lie about Epps' role in the events of January 6th. So here's what we're seeing. Ray Epps is clearly involved, but he's been released from the FBI most wanted list and has not been prosecuted at all. Why is that? Lastly, Ray Epps appears to have worked alongside several individuals, many of them suspiciously unindicted. That's the thing. While they're throwing tons of people in prison from January 6th, this guy and his associates, nobody's touching them. FBI, no fingers on them, not indicted, totally released and absolved, apparently. He appears to have worked alongside several individuals to carry out a breach of the police barricades that induced a subsequent flood of unsuspecting MAGA protesters to unwittingly trespass on Capitol-restricted grounds and place themselves in legal jeopardy. Now, this from Arizona Central, another news source. A video of Queen Creek resident Ray Epps was shown by U.S. Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky during a House oversight hearing where lawmakers questioned Attorney General Merrick Garland about the attack on the Capitol. Massie used the video as occasion to ask Garland not just about Epps, but about the belief that federal agents were present and agitating people before the riot. One video shows Epps telling people on January 5th they need to go into the U.S. Capitol. Other video shows him directing them on January 6th toward the historic building. And so here's the big question. Why is he not a person of interest? Why is he not being held or being prosecuted or anything, nor any of his associates? And meanwhile, others have been arrested and have been held in solitary confinement, some for months, being horribly treated by the federal government. So the federal government's going after these people, but conspicuously not Ray Epps and his associates, which begs the question, were these guys federal agents or federally protected plants? Were they federally protected plants put in the scenario to incite a breach of the Capitol and then besmirch all of the Trump rioters, pit this whole thing as a riot and insurrection and then smear all conservatives? There's something unanswered about all this. And so Thomas Massie was pushing the envelope with Merrick Garland, who all he just kept saying, Thomas Massie was saying, where is this guy? What's the deal? Why is he not a person of interest for the feds? Garland kept saying, I cannot comment on ongoing investigations. I cannot comment on ongoing investigations. The guy is such a snake. This Merrick Garland never answers anything. So I wanted to get to this on my show because we're constantly told it was a conservative insurrection. But there's too many unanswered questions about potential federal involvement that incited this thing. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. It's a beautiful day in America. The left is relentless, so keep the faith.